in, people. It's a beautiful day. It's another Sunday. We've got another podcast. I'm here with the effervescent. Do I have to even say the name? When I say effervescent, Toby Pett. Toby. That's right, the effervescent Toby Pett.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And
good morning, Gloucester.
Mr. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith. Very exciting morning. Lots to talk about. The morning after the last block party of the season, which was dedicated to in the memory of Jackie Hardy, which was on our original block party committee, one of the founders. Mm-hmm. And what was nice about last night's block party, Safathia, the way I understand it, took the reins of being a big part of helping the block party committee. She did a lot of organizing for this one. Along with Mark, kudos to Mark McDonough and Valerie Markley as they exit the block party scene. I think this is the last one that they will be. They went out with a bang. I was worried yesterday with the cool weather.
Oh, it was a fabulous party last night.
I was worried with the cool weather that it wasn't going to be.
No.
I've made predictions all day long. I'm like, wow, the restaurants are really going to suffer.
It was packed down at the, what everybody was calling Little Italy last night.
Down
at the West End. It was just a great, great scene down there.
It was packed.
It was packed.
It was absolutely packed. Very successful block party. I'm happy for the outgoing block party committee that it was so packed. Kudos to Safathia for helping out, I guess. I don't know exactly what she did. I think she did some organizing. Johnny Gallo had a setup there. I think they were taping something for Italy.
For Italian TV. So I took a nice photo of them all together, and then it has the name of the TV program that they were working on. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head, but I'll post those photos tonight.
Very cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Johnny Gallo, he is a very talented guy. I'll bring up something about Johnny Gallo. He could have he does Italian TV, and he is based out of Gloucester. His office is on Center Street. I talked to him about this before. He could be anywhere. He could operate his business anywhere. He chooses to be in Gloucester, be with his family in Gloucester, because he loves Gloucester, and his Rome Television, based out of Gloucester, Massachusetts. Really, really awesome. Yeah.
I met his sister last night. She had a booth set up of all these beautiful hand-painted rocks and other things as well, little boxes and things like that. She was really sweet. And I think her name is Mealy, is that?
Oh,
Did you meet her?
No, I didn't meet her. I know her, his husband, Teresa, Terranova. I went to Bishop Fenwick with her.
You did?
Yeah, great girl. Good Italian family. Yeah. Nice people.
And they also had a cheesemaker there.
They had a cheesemaker. They had Paolo and Mercedes that are going to be opening up in
Paolo Laboa.
Laboa and Mercedes Flavin.
Laboa. Okay.
Mercedes Flavin, they're married now.
Yeah.
And they're going to be taking over the space where Alchemy is. Okay. And they were giving out these little kind of
prosciutto
on like a almost like a flatbread.
Yeah, that was
with his award-winning
pesto.
Pesto, and oh my lord, I could eat prosciutto and pesto and mozzarella. I could eat that all day long.
Well, there was the
no Stilton.
There was the prosciutto on one side of the street and the homemade cheese on the other side of the street. So there you go.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah.
And all those Vespas.
Did you see the machine that he was slicing the prosciutto on? It was like a work of art.
What was that? That looks beautiful. It was
sexy. That was Italian engineering, I'm telling you right now.
It was like red enamel.
And did you see that thing of prosciutto?
It was beautiful.
I wish I had my
camera. I didn't get to try anything because I only had like 40 minutes while the light was still good. So I was just like running up and down the street photographing. So I didn't really get to try any of the food. But
I think the marketing for the opening was brilliant right there.
Next time your sister goes to J. Pache and Sons in Saugus,
yep,
have her bring you back a sandwich that they call the Big Dig.
Yeah, what's in it?
Prosciutto.
Yeah, what else?
Mozzarella.
Yeah.
Roasted red peppers.
That's my sandwich. You just named my sandwich. That's my sandwich.
It's called
a little basil. I like the basil, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fresh basil.
Boom. Nailed it. Little olive oil. Boom.
Little olive oil. Exactly.
Done.
If you want a touch of balsamic, you can have that, too.
Okay, listen. Here's the deal. Next time you're driving back, if you happen to be driving.
You want me to bring you one?
I'll buy you fly.
Okay, right? It just,
I don't get up that way. I
understand. Okay.
Yeah. I used to go there into Jay Pache when I lived in the North End.
Yeah, well, they got a great location down the Seaport District also. I mean, so SOG is, I mean, they're
blown up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that's your sandwich, I'm telling you.
That is my sandwich, yeah. That and the Vigilio's Northeaster with prosciutto.
They're vegetarian sandwich with prosciutto.
With prosciutto.
So do you ever put prosciutto and soppressata together? I think that's good together. I think that's good. You should try that sometime.
I will try it.
Yeah. Yesterday I had a
sandwich. The big dick. We'll have
yesterday,
to get you.
Coming back from the Berkshires, I had a sandwich with prosciutto and hot soppressata together with red peppers and basil on a very delicious.
Red peppers. I see. I don't want the red peppers.
No,
I want the sun dried tomatoes.
Well, these were.
I don't want red peppers. I want sun dried tomatoes.
Oh, it's on the big dick.
Well, I'm going to have to make a substitution.
Or I'll just bring it like it is and you'll still enjoy it.
Yeah, I love roasted red peppers on a sandwich.
I brought him lunch the other day. He said he's saving it.
I'm saving it for today. I'm going to have it for breakfast. It's sausages.
Oh.
With a nice rice and
sausage and chicken stew.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah.
I had a couple
bites.
Did
you make that?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Toby's a fantastic cook.
Yeah.
He's very knowledgeable about food.
I've had your chowder lobster chowder.
We're saving that for the 100th.
We're going to have for the 100th. We're going to have a lobster clam chowder.
The round table.
For our round table.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
We're going to invite anybody that's been, here it is. Anybody that's been on the podcast before is invited to partake in the 100th taping. We're not going to do it during the day. We're going to do it at night. So we do no interruptions.
Totally.
Walk inside of a room and have at it.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the move.
And it's only a couple weeks away.
I'll have to think of something to go.
What are we at now?
I don't know, 93.
90-something. I think we're at 93 or 94, so it's six weeks away.
Who knows?
Whoa. Dun-dun-dun. So the block party was a huge success. Another newsworthy item this week, Holy Cow, opened up.
I'm excited to go there. I've been seeing your posts on it. It looks fantastic.
Well, we went. I picked the last time I had the girls on the weekend was 2 weekends ago. So I had I picked them up and we went to Burnham's Field to the playground that they built there is over the top. Kudos to John McElhenney, Steve Winslow, Melissa Cox, Mayor Kirk, whoever was involved. Did I leave anybody out? I hope I didn't. It is. What a transformation of the largest green space in the middle of downtown Gloucester.
That's the word, transformation.
Yeah. My girls, that was like a park that was overgrown. The chain link fence had years and years of litter stuck in the links. And now it is this crown jewel.
That's great.
Did I mention John McElhenney?
Yes, you did.
Oh, boy. I like him. I love it. John, one of my favorite people in the world.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I want to make sure.
Oh, is he going to be on the 100th podcast?
He can. He's been in there.
Yeah, he's been there.
Yeah, he could be in there. Chad Konecki. Okay, so I'm driving up to pick up the girls this week, and on my way there, I get a text that Holy Cow opened, and we had done, they're going to be open next week thing, and the girls were all about going there. They were dying to go there. So I got them, and we're driving back, and I had them guess. I'm like, I got a surprise for you guys. And they couldn't guess what it was. I told them when we got to, like, Railroad Ave. And we went there, and it was, and we live blogged from there. It was packed. And it was packed. Hold on a second. Toby's got to show me something.
I texted you, too.
And Toby also texted me. Thank you, Toby. Yep. And so we got there. Toby's patting himself on the back. I also got text. Oh, should I mention everybody that texted me? Because
Joe
James Eves texted me. Melissa Cox texted me. All within the space of a few minutes. Holy Cow is open.
Don't be so.
So we got there, and it was fantastic. But what I want to point out with the coffee, we always talk about coffee.
Cold brew.
Cold brew coffee, like we were talking about in the last podcast that Paulie Walnuts was very disinterested in. But they make it, and it's a very bold, rich, along the lines of Atomic Cafe. You know you're drinking a cup of coffee, but it's still iced coffee.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying that. I had your cold coffee this week, and that was delicious.
You liked it, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was
so this is the move for anybody that has children. The move is you go to Holy Cow for ice cream. The parent who's exhausted at the end of the night gets their iced coffee or regular coffee there because they have like a diesel blend, like the hardcore blend. You take them over to Burnham's Field and they could play and play and play. We played soccer for a while. We closed the place. That was pitch black when we were the last people there. Met the McElhenneys over there and played, had a blast. And the girls love it there. So there's your move. There is your parents that are looking for something to do that's a little different. You haven't done. Bring your kids to Burnham's Field, get ice cream.
What else do they have on the menu at Holy Cow? They have
it's ice cream. It's Richardson's ice cream, so they're not making their own ice cream. But Richardson's is good.
Richardson's is my favorite.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm, mocha chip.
Mocha chip. That's what Madeline got. That's exactly what Madeline.
Olivia and I. That's what we always.
Yeah, the Surfside Softy down. I mean, clearly they produce their own soft serve ice cream, but they also have regular ice cream, and they feature.
I wonder what the percentage of ice cream places that serve Richardson's. They always. It's like I think Captain Dusty's is Richardson's.
Boulevard, the ice cream.
The Boulevard.
It's an automatic. Also, I mean, you know your customers are going to be happy.
Yeah.
Great product.
Row at next to Charlie's Place. What's that called? Rose Scoops.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
On the way to Good Harbor.
Oh, the Good Harbor Beach one on Bass Ave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hers is Richardson's.
That's Richardson's?
Hers is Richardson's. Also on Main Street. The place that's pink in the inside.
Sweet Scoops.
Yeah,
something like that.
They're Richardson's too.
There's Nicastro's Driving School, Angie Nicastro.
They have Richardson's also.
Really?
I make a beeline for Richardson, so I know all the Richardson's.
I guess you do. Richardson expert right here.
Well, they produce. They produce all winter, and it's literally kept in cold storage. Mm. So that when the pressure's on, when everyone wants it during the summer, they've got adequate inventory.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And also when the ambassador from China came, he wanted to see an American dairy farm, and they took him to Richardson's.
They should have taken him to his Appleton. Appleton Farms today, I think, is doing their Appleton Day or something.
Oh,
where
really?
They have all the, it's great thing.
Yeah.
By the time this comes out, people are not going to know about it.
Okay.
Well, I'll post it soon, so people can know about it. But Appleton Farms for Kids today is awesome. Oh, cool. Family day up there.
Mm. Good to know.
Yeah. So Holy Cow is open. Kudos to them. Good take. And Burnham's Field, we talked about that. Okay, now I'm going to change up completely. This is an abrupt. This is no part. There's no segue here. There's zero segue. I want to talk. This is specifically aimed at Toby because when the Gloucester Daily Times went to a paid thing, your biggest gripe was I would gladly pay for it, but the website is an absolute mess.
Right.
They've revamped the website.
Great.
And
great.
It's like they're using a blog format. You know, it's basically here it is. You plug in. There's a template. You put in your header, and then your posts are down below it. And I think it's 100 times better than it was.
Oh, look forward to looking at that. We still get the regular newspaper.
So what do you think of do you like the update?
It's improved.
It's definitely improved. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
so
it'd be a failure on anyone's part not to recognize the effort that they've made.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. It definitely has been an improvement there. And it seems like the Times has stepped. They hired a bunch of. It seems like everyone they're hiring is a lot younger, and
I think they've been having great coverage.
I think they've had a lot. I think the coverage has been improved. Yeah. I think they're doing a better job.
I think you have your old, your stalwarts like Gail McCarthy, who must do like 25 articles a day. I don't know how she does it. But I love all the new reporting, too.
I think so. I think it's been great. And you still get people criticizing them because they just said, for some reason, it's like something that people are programmed to do, I guess, is criticize the local newspaper. Try to do it yourself, though. I don't think they could do much a better job than what they're doing right now. And I hope that their readership, paid readership, increases because of it. Because, like we talked about before, it's important to have a local.
Well, they won't survive if they can't figure it out.
It's well deserved, I think. It's very worthwhile. I read it every day.
I think a lot of people read it. I don't know how many people pay for it, and it needs to be sustainable. So I hope people pay for it. Here's an interesting story that I ran across on the web this week. Did you know that Arizona has a stupid motorist law that if you drive into floods and need to be rescued, you get the bill for the cost of the rescue? Right. Here it is. Ready? Liability for emergency responses in flood areas. A driver of a vehicle who drives a vehicle on a public street or highway that is temporarily covered by a rise in water level, including groundwater or overflow of water, and that is barricaded because of flooding, is liable for the expenses of any emergency response that is required to remove from the public street or highway the driver or any passenger in the vehicle that becomes inoperable on the public street or highway, or the vehicle but that becomes inoperable on the public street or highway, or both. Isn't that?
Well, you can't fix stupid.
You can't fix it, but you can discourage monetary discouraging stupid.
That could cost tens of thousands of dollars if they have to have a helicopter come in.
Not to mention putting the response team in harm's way.
Right.
Well, it's not dissimilar from the people that go hiking in the White Mountains
and they think
because they have a cell phone, they don't have to worry about the right equipment or warm clothing or...
Right, getting back down the mountain when a blizzard starts. Yeah. Right.
How about the latest thrill seekers? They have the fly suits. They're base jumpers.
It's basically like a flying squirrel. They have a membrane between their arms and their legs that allows them to sort of ride a current.
Yeah, it's been like the videos, the GoPro first person videos are unbelievable to see, and because they're unbelievable to see and they get a ton of hits on the web, this encourages them to do it more. And how many people are getting mangled because they don't properly operate?
I don't know.
It's just one of these things that who pays for the insurance? Be a big rider on that guy.
Just need a blotter. That's all.
A couple
rags to wipe up the mess.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, it's no different than these extreme skiers. Yeah. It always fascinates me. Yeah. What do you call it?
CRS.
CRS.
Can't remember shit.
New disease. I don't think it's a new disease.
He's suffering from CRS.
Suffering from CRS. No doubt. Israel Horowitz. Well, what was going on with there? He had a film.
He has a film based on a play that he wrote 20 years ago. And I think the film is called My Old Lady. But it's this really interesting concept that happens in France, is that an older person can sell their apartment to somebody and to the buyer, but then that buyer has to pay that person rent. So this is a way for older people to stay in their homes.
Okay.
And the play is basically Kevin Kline is the actor. He's inherited this apartment in France. He moves there. He doesn't know he's also inherited the old lady who lives there, plus her daughter, her middle-aged daughter, who's unhappy. And not only that, he's broke, destitute, and he has to pay rent to her, or else he's going to lose the whole thing. And now it's his only home because he bought.
Did you see it? Or did you see a trailer?
No, I haven't seen it. I've read the play before, so.
Is it a happy film or is it a miserable film?
No, well, it's kind of it's a very Israel Horowitz type of thing. It's full of. It's
multi-layered
comedy, tragedy.
A lot of good conversation.
Yeah,
love that kind of movie. Love that kind of movie. So where is it playing?
Right.
House of Cards. Lindsay Krause, local.
Right.
Hey, great movie. One of my favorite
movies of all time.
I'm with you. Top 10 all time.
Which movie is that?
House of Cards. House of Games. Excuse me. House of Games.
That's right. And
it was written by David Mamet.
Joe LaMontagne.
When David Mamet and Lindsay Krauss were still married.
Yeah.
But it still is House of Games, hands down. I don't care if you have a top 10, a top 5, whatever. Mm. It's going to make that list. It is one of the best movies, and because of the conversation, the interaction. Mm. And not to take away from Israel Horowitz, but I mean a lot of the Israel Horowitz films or plays, it's all about the dialogue.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually his first film. And it's based on his...
He's written screenplays in the past, but is one that he directed, and I think he's co-producing.
He did the whole thing with his daughter, Rachel, who's a film producer.
Right.
So.
Do people know, is it common knowledge around here that one of his sons, Adam Horowitz, was one of the Beastie Boys?
I know that.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Adam, he has to be older than me because he was on tour when I was in college. First concert I ever went to was a Beastie Boys concert in Worcester.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Or as they say, Worcester.
I wonder if he's ever... Do you think Adam Horowitz is ever around here?
I imagine so, because they have a lovely house.
It's right up the hill.
Yeah, up the hill.
Yeah, tuck and roll, you hit Captain Joe's from the house.
Yeah, I've seen them at the theater, so I've seen the whole family at the theater before.
I wonder how much...
You want to get him on the blog, a podcast?
I know he doesn't want to have anything to do with the blog, but I wonder how much he embraces... I mean, the Beastie Boys were... I wonder if he's like, oh, I'm just past that. You know what I mean? That was then. I wonder if he embraces, you know, the Adam Horowitz of the Beastie Boys. You know, Adam Horowitz. Does he embrace the Adam Horowitz of the Beastie Boys, or does he like wish he was doing something?
He should be on a podcast. That would be
awesome. He doesn't want to be on this podcast. I'm not trying to make
it. Yeah, Kim and I don't want to be on anymore either.
You're right. You guys don't want to be on here. What does he want to be on here for?
He could be a guest.
Our vanity project. No, I don't think he wants to be on here either.
No, I don't think it's a vanity project. We were talking about this earlier. Like, several people at the block party last night told me that they listen to the podcast. And, you know, it's just, I hear that often wherever I go.
I get it too.
I heard the podcast. And they
we, the problem is we
the
don't
problem.
Get the metrics on this, and so it drives me crazy. I have no idea how many people listen and how many people don't listen because they don't register. They register as like 3 people listened, but I know I spoke to 7 people that bring up topics within the podcast. For some reason, podcasts don't register as hits. Mm. So I don't know what that is.
But anyway, so this Israel Horowitz film is going to be playing down the Cape Ann Community Cinema.
Mm-hmm. Regularly?
Yeah. No, for the next, like, the, what, through October 10th or something?
Nightly? Daily?
You've got to check.
I have to check. I'm going to go to the Cape Ann Community Cinema. I'm going to make a point to go see this. That would be a great. That would be a great thing. I'm psyched. I hope you can check this out. Yeah. I hope there has to be a YouTube trailer on this. I'll put a YouTube trailer on the blog so people can get a and then put
there
a link to.
Good idea.
It's too bad, Rob Newton. Rob Newton. Do you know that Rob Newton might have been the third or fourth official contributor to Good Morning Gloucester? You know, he had access to post directly to Good Morning Gloucester at one time. And he just was...
Busy with the theater.
Apparently it was too much for him to deal with. And I says, I'm not going to edit all your stuff and put it on here. Right. You can post it directly. You're going to get much more traction. And he just didn't have the time to do it, I guess. So I cut him loose.
If he decides that he
he's not. It's all done. We don't have a slot for him now.
Oh,
there's not a slot. I have other contributors that post every single day that I'm not bumping them for someone else. That's the way it works. There's other people that I have asked in the past if they wanted to be a contributor, and they said a no, that they think about it. And then after the fact, I picked up other people, and now that they asked to be on it, I'm like, no.
The opportunity went by.
Sorry, Charlie.
Right.
Okay.
That's it. That's the way we work.
That's the way we
You're
work.
Dead to me. Dead to me.
It's okay.
Yeah, no. So Kim yesterday was out in the Berkshires. So I'm surprised you got back for the block party.
Yeah, well, I left at
9 hours of driving.
Right, I left at 4 in the 5 in the morning.
Cold.
Because the program started at 10. And then it was, you know, I did a lecture for an hour and a half, and then we went right to the screening after that. So we had a wonderful crowd. It's very touching for me, the questions people ask. They're so interested. Several people were crying. They thought it was so beautiful. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I love super sensitive old women.
No.
Well, so tell me, explain to me the crowd. Explain to me what is the prototype.
Okay, so the lecture was more, as you said, middle-aged people.
Women. Right?
But the, it was men and women equally.
Okay.
And then
they wanted to get laid, so they went to the butterfly thing with the woman.
And then the screening, it was a totally...
That would be the move?
For the screening, it was totally mixed. It was children, parents with their kids, middle-aged people as well, older people as well. Mm-hmm. A couple like really big burly guys that
biker jackets.
What was it?
Biker jackets.
No, not like that.
But sea shanty singers.
No.
Big burly guys, nevertheless.
But they were very engaged and very interested, and we had great question and answer afterwards. And
were there any anti-fluoride people there?
Fluoride did not wasn't any.
How about anti-vaccine people? Were any anti-vaccine people there?
Vaccines and fluorides did not come up in the conversation.
No, I think there's a lot of crossover there. Both conspiracy theorists.
Shall we? We talked a lot about the monarchs also, because that's in the I was curious to know what's going on in the western part of the state. We're so far east, and I was at the extreme western part of the state.
The swallowtails are. The black swallow.
Well, the film is about the black swallowtail.
But that's more for the western part of the state as opposed to the...
No, that's for the whole of New England, or for the whole country. Black swallowtails are found throughout the whole country. The monarchs, however, are on everybody's mind, so most of these question and answers sessions end up talking about monarchs.
Because they all lump them all in, butterfly.
Right. So my plan is... The Black Swallowtail film will eventually play on PBS, but I'm putting all my energy...
Is that official?
Mm-hmm.
So when did that happen?
About 6 months ago, but I need to finish it. So what I...
You already got a green light for that?
Yes. Yeah. It needs
to be... Did you tell me that?
I don't know.
Awesome.
I don't talk about it that much because I'm not working on it. I need to add 8 more minutes to it. And
why don't you bang out the 8 minutes for Christ's sake?
No, I have the footage... But see, the thing is, I'm going to put the Monarch film out first, because the Monarch film will bring the Black Swallowtail film along, not vice versa.
Interesting.
So that's my
all about
right,
the
Monarch. And I see the guy's eyes glazing over as we're talking about butterflies. So that's the end of butterflies. Moving on to the next.
No, it's very exciting. I'm very excited.
No, it was a very exciting day for me because it was, very. It's very rewarding when people appreciate what you're making.
Well, the one you did unveiled it at the Cape Ann Community Cinema.
Yeah, that was
great. It was packed house.
Yeah, that was a packed house. That was really wonderful.
A lot of people crying.
No.
A lot of people crying.
No, they weren't.
You touched people. That's what you do. So wait, are we close to? Oh, do you know what I really like this week on the blog? A lot of people were sending in. Monarch sightings. Al Bazanson sent in a monarch sighting. Did anybody else send in a monarch sighting?
Did he send it to you? I didn't see it.
It was in the comments. You didn't see that?
No.
Maybe I approved it so you don't get a notification. It was on your post.
Okay, well, I did see other people. So
Al Bazanson said there's two on Baker's Island.
That was Al. Scooter something. Oh, okay.
Scooter, yeah.
Does he have a couple of... Does he comment from a couple of names?
I think he... probably has a WordPress account that's Schooner 39 or whatever.
Okay. Right. So yes, if people want to send in their sightings, that would be wonderful.
You should make a Google map, and you should place a little place mark where people are sighting them.
People can do that on Journey North.
JourneyNorth.com.
Journey North, right. If you, or maybe .org.
.org.
On Journey North, you can call in your butterfly sightings, and you can look at the...
Call it in, or you can do it online?
Online. You can do it online, okay? And so they have a large map, and you can see where, I look at it every week to see, are we getting any closer to our migration? At the end of October, the little film that I made for the Berkshire Museum about the monarchs in flight, which starts on Cape Ann and shows a lot of footage of the monarchs coming in, pouring in over the water. I captured that in 2012. And and then ends up in Mexico, I'm going to be able to post that on the blog after the exhibit is finished with at the
When Berkshire. Can people expect the Monarch migration to...
Now. They should. You should be
so
looking
any,
at...
Any day now? Are you going every single morning to...
Yes, I go because I think it's not going to be... I don't think it's going to be that strong, so whatever is there, I don't want to miss it.
Right.
It's doing fairly well in the middle part of the country, but on the, you know, the butterflies go off about 1 degree north each day that they're migrating, so we didn't get a whole lot on the East Coast this year. So I'm not, I don't really know what to expect is
okay.
going to happen. So.
But any day, normally, on a normal year, this
right.
would be the week
right.
where they start
yes.
coming down?
Yes, about the third week in September.
Okay, I'm going to give you the prediction.
Okay.
10 to 14 days from now, that's when that's going to happen.
Yeah,
because
everything's so
everything is 2 weeks behind.
The whole year it's been that way.
The whole year, everything's
right.
way behind.
So
that's my prediction. It'll be interesting to see.
Right. Well, since 2006, I've been photographing the butterflies. So,
Toby.
1 year it was as
Knock
late.
A few things.
1 year it was as late as, that was just Toby.
Just knocking shit over.
Being Toby.
Toby.
I was putting up the American flag.
Thank you, Toby. Critical for the podcast.
So if I look back at my records from since 2006, it's happened as late as the second week in October.
Yeah.
So
all right, now let's wrap up the butterfly stuff now.
All done.
Enough.
Enough for the butterflies. I keep asking the questions. It's my fault.
I know.
Toby, what's on the football menu tonight?
What do you mean, football menu?
Are you going to watch football tonight?
This afternoon.
Yeah. What are you planning on eating today?
I'm gonna have 2 Guinnesses.
That's a meal. Guinness is a meal. I like that. That's a good meal.
That's important.
Kim, what are you cooking today?
What's tonight? Sunday. So my son is not home tonight. Oh no, we're doing something really fun at Duckworth tonight. They have another one of their writers book club.
Who's the writer today?
The book is The Secret Life of Bees, and I don't remember who the writer is.
The Secret Life of Bees? That's one.
Yeah.
That's a national book.
Yeah, but it's not the author who wrote The Secret
Life
of Bees.
Oh, you're talking about the
right.
book. It's like a wine club
that
deal.
Person,
where everybody drinks wine and talks about the book
for
10 minutes.
Yeah, that person who wrote... I'm so sorry, I can't remember the name of the person. I should have looked that up.
Toby's got it.
Right.
Are you working on that, Toby?
I did post it on the blog a little while ago, and I don't have my glasses on, so you're gonna have to read the name out loud.
But what time does that start?
That starts at 5.
5 o'clock.
So yeah. And then,
so while the rest of the world is watching NFL football, you'll be
talking about books.
You'll be talking about
The Secret Life
of Bees.
And most of the time, half the time, I don't read the books until after the fact. I just really go to photograph and do that.
Oh, they put out a nice spread too.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. Ken is it's really sublime. It's this fabulous dinner.
Now, is this in conjunction with the Eastern Point Lighthouse?
No, it's them working together. So. I can't do that while I'm trying
just
to
read
talk.
It, Toby. Well, who's the author?
The author is Sue Monk Kidd.
That's the author of the book, but that's not the person who is leading the discussion tonight.
Okay, I don't know who's leading.
So
that
would be something. I know I posted it.
I drove by after work. I got out late and I needed to get some food, so I went to I don't know where I went. I got some Leonardo's, picked up a sub or something. And I was driving past where Eastern Point Lighthouse is.
Right.
It's dark out. Got out late. They had a bunch. It was like a kumbaya moment. There was like 30 people sitting in a circle, crisscross applesauce. And I don't know what was... Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know what was going on there, but I passed by, I could think of was, I bet you they're singing Kumbaya.
Is this at the Lighthouse?
Yeah, the Lighthouse. It was all lit up. They were all sitting on the ground with crisscross applesauce, and I don't know what the lecture was
it
was.
I don't know what crisscross applesauce is.
You said Indian style.
Oh,
crisscross applesauce.
Your legs, so.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I never heard that expression.
You never heard
before.
That.
I know how to sit that way, but I never.
You know
heard
that?
Yes.
Toby knows everything.
By the way, I also made sauce and meatballs yesterday, which I'm going to enjoy today.
Yeah. So that's your football meal.
Yeah.
The zugu. What kind of meatball? Beef or turkey or chicken?
No. It's a ground beef, veal, and sweet Italian sausage meat with a little bit of Romano cheese, some breadcrumbs, a little bit of basil, a little bit of oregano.
Ooh, that sounds really yummy.
Yeah, people think they're pretty good.
As Mark Ring would say. Well, whenever he describes something he likes.
And also I just want to say about the Eastern Point Lit House, the next Writers Book Club author is Steve Almond.
I love Steve Almond.
You do? He's awesome. I thought you would. He's really funny.
What is he talking about? GMOs? Really, what is he talking about?
Oh. Oh my God.
What is he talking about? No, what is he talking about, Steve Almond?
I think I know this guy. He just wrote a book about football. I think you'd like him. He's really funny.
At Eastern Point Lit House? Where is it going to be? Oh, is it going to be at Duckworth's?
It's going to be at Duckworth's. It's the next Writers Book Club event, and that's next month. And next month is Steve Almond.
Are they going to have it on a Sunday? Because if it's on a Sunday,
it's a short story writer.
They're always on Sundays.
Oh, that's a problem.
Because Duckworth's is closed Sunday and Monday.
I got a problem with that. During NFL season.
Oh.
I'm having ribs tonight. What am I looking at? Against football, a reluctant manifesto. against football. My guess is this is one of those people that want soccer to be everything and the kids not to play football anymore.
Even though
there's more concussions from soccer than football.
Read the review.
Another liberal that doesn't want football to happen.
Steve Almond was on CNN the other day. He's
self-published type of guy.
I'm sure he's awesome.
He's very smart.
Is he funny?
Really, really funny.
You can go to Chad Konecki. Chad is your football connection, so he would probably know whether or not this guy is.
But Chad's an ultra-liberal, too, so he might line right up.
Everybody's an ultra-liberal.
That's not true.
You call me an ultra-liberal.
You are an ultra-liberal. Let's be honest, you're an ultra-liberal. I love when she says. I love when she tries to pretend like she doesn't eat the Democrat doctrine.
She drives a Prius.
Wait a second. In defense of, okay, here's her defense on that. Ron Gilson drove a Prius for a couple of years.
Until he found out
this is the liberal
got
guy.
Rid of it instantly.
He's like, I don't care, take it off my hands. It was a trade-in. They're like, I'm going to give you 10 cents. I don't care, take it off my hands.
We even had the same color, I think.
Yeah, you did. You had the green one, which is really...
Green is a really liberal color.
You may as well. Did you use soybeans to run it?
One thing that we've been watching that's really interesting, talking about Democrats and Republicans and how they have worked together over the last 100 years.
Not worked together in the last 15 years, because that's what it is.
The Roosevelt special has been on PBS, so I've watched that every night. And it was so fascinating.
Ken Burns.
It was amazing. It was just an amazing 14 hours. It was 14 hours. 2 hours every night for
the documentary filmmaker,
and
Ken Burns.
Teddy Roosevelt was a Republican, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a Democrat. And they were, both sides of the family were mutually respectful of each other often. Nice. And then also they got into big fights about it, too. But Teddy Roosevelt and Franklin and Eleanor were friends.
Is that Lady Bird?
No, Eleanor was Franklin's wife. Okay, Lady Bird Johnson. Lady Bird was Johnson's wife.
Which one was supposed to be really hideous looking?
Oh, come on.
Well, one of them was supposed to be really hard to look at, they said.
No.
Well, none of them?
None of them.
Is that not true? Isn't there one of the
I never heard
wives is just
that.
Hideous?
Yeah, just too hideous. No, I never heard that either.
No. What am I thinking of? Was it a bad dream?
I don't know.
It's a bad dream.
It was a bad dream.
Anyways, it was very interesting to see how the different parties worked and didn't work together over the years, and the same exact mistakes are being repeated today with the divisiveness.
There's a lot of mistakes as far as
communication.
We're not going politics. The only thing I say about politics is it's sad that they're so polar opposite that there's no middle ground anymore. We've lost the middle ground.
Yeah.
Gonna change up.
Go ahead.
One thing I became aware of late And I'm not saying it's a trend. I'm not suggesting that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people or couples like this going. But I have met several people who own boats, let's say, and kept them during the season at a marina like Cape Ann Marina, for example, that were thinking, perhaps their primary residence was Winchester, Woburn, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes away. And they were thinking about getting a larger boat so that they could really spend overnights
up here, more time. Oh, cool.
Well, but it's an interesting trend. They've gone against that. They're keeping their smaller boat, and they're buying one-bedroom condos. Inexpensive, $100,000, $100,250,000. They're scooping. I don't want to say they're scooping them up, but these people are not looking at this as a primary residence or not as a, you know, a home for their kids. They're doing it. Okay, this is we're going to go out in the boat during the day, but this way we go back, take our showers, you know, go out to dinner, and they're spending time here on Cape Ann, going out to dinner, etc.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
I think it's really good.
Win-win
for everyone.
Like it.
Right.
Oh. Like it a lot. Yeah, that's very. So, yeah, so I'm always fascinated. You know what I'm always fascinated with is and this is probably this is way off topic. We're not going to get into it right now. But like, the what is that website where they show the small, simple living little houses,
the little cottages,
160
square feet.
Yeah, like what you can pack in and stuff like that, and the container houses, and then the ones that like they drop on a plot of land that's, you know, you go way up deep into Maine or something, and you buy like 20 acres or 5 acres, whatever it happens to be. You have your own little spot. You drop this house on it, and you go off the grid.
Yeah,
and like you lose it for a vacation home or something, but you're not tied.
I don't know what the website is, but
there's some cool ones out there and it's just fascinating to look at what you know.
They're well engineered. The thought process is.
God, what's it? I'll put it into the show notes. But there's
small is beautiful, perhaps, or something.
There's some website, and you could spend hours like looking through these different plans and stuff like that, and see what people have done and how ingenious they've used the space to create housing. But yeah.
Oh, please put that.
I'm I'm having ribs for NFL football tonight.
Ribs.
Who's making them?
What's that?
You're not having a party. You're just gonna have ribs.
No. I'm having ribs, coleslaw, and the sweetbread.
Is that your
favorite? No beans.
When you say sweetbread, do you mean cornbread?
I don't know sweetbread.
Is it yellow?
I think it's yellow. I don't
That's
know.
Cornbread.
I'm not cooking it.
It's probably cornbread. Talking about cornbread.
Yeah.
That's what you're having.
Yeah. Boom,
tonight.
Sucking.
Good.
Lick your fingers.
Perhaps with a Guinness or something like that.
I don't know if I'll be able to. I don't like to drink because I have to get up so early for work. I'm exhausted. I'd like to actually watch football and not fall asleep.
This is a bit of a tease. I've got something in process. She doesn't even know yet. She'll find out. Sister Felicia. It's going to be a very exciting contribution to the blog.
There you go. Very exciting.
Trust me. Remember, I mentioned it here first.
And Toby mentioned it here. All right. Well, there you go. Toby mentioned it. Everybody can guess. Well, everybody send in what your guess
They're
is.
They're going to sit Toby. On the edges of edges their, of their, of their seats. Seats waiting for this.
People should sit. You know, it would be fun if people send in their football menus.
Send in your football football food pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Very good. All right, we got another Gloucestercast. I think this is a good. This is an average size one, but it was a good one. I'm really happy.
I'm happy that you're happy.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up. Oh. You got something to add?
No, I didn't know you were still recording.
You got something to add because I can do away with the background music that's playing right now.
No, we like the background.
We want to end like this so we can leave them wanting more. Right?
Great.
All right, Toby Pett and for the effervescent Toby Pett and Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith, it's Joey Schumacher. We got another Gloucestercast in the book.